This is the second message on our series on the pathway of revival, particularly looking at uprooting the negative things that will finally help us to know a revival in our personal relationship with the Lord. In our first message, we actually looked at freedom from sin, and we saw that our old self was crucified together with Christ on the cross. We saw the need to reckon, to proclaim what happened to us on the cross when we went together with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, that the pathway to freedom from sin is death. We died with Christ, and the person who has died has been set free from sin. We equally saw the need to yield every part of our body as instrument of righteousness, to yield ourselves to the Lord, and instead of being slave to sin, to become slave to righteousness. And then we saw that we need to cooperate with the Lord to uproot the thing that needs to be uprooted from our lives, and to plant certain things that need to be planted. We uproot the wrong things, and then we plant the right things. We saw that righteousness is not being passive. That is what the Lord did. That is what we ourselves will have to do. In this second teaching, we are looking at freedom from all love of self. That's the second step in the pathway of revival and uprooting the negative things from our lives. What is the self-life? The self-life is that ugly monster within, competing for attention that ought to be given to the Lord. The attention that should be given to the Lord, the glory that should be given to the Lord, the self within want to have it. It is a God within that seeks to be worshipped. When the heart is ruled by the self-life, acts that appear outwardly to be good, such as helping the poor, charity, act of love, act of mercy, act of care, etc., are all done with the wrong motive: to be seen, to be heard, to be known, to be talked about, to be exalted, to be promoted. The motive is not glory given to the Lord, but glory for self, and in many cases, to make a name or actually have a place. The Lord Jesus Christ will not reign in such a life, because he will not share his glory with anyone. We are going to look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, 17, it says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That whatever you do, whether it is in word, whether it is in your deed, we should do it in the name of the Lord. We do it for the Lord. We do it to bring glory to the Lord. And it is doing everything in the name of the Lord and for the Lord, and to bring glory to the Lord and him alone. That is the expression of freedom from the love of self. True salvation begins when Jesus is established as Lord in the heart. He said, "If you shall believe with your in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord." So there's the believing and the confessing that Jesus is Lord. It is Jesus coming to take his place as Lord in the heart that is actually called salvation. He becomes the boss. He becomes the master. You start living for him and doing everything for his glory. Before we look at the manifestation of the self and freedom from self, let us look at the beauty of this freedom from the self-life in a number of verses.
Let's just look at Galatians chapter 2. In Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ. Very, very familiar word. I have been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. He said, it is no longer I living, but Christ living in me. I have been crucified. The I crucified. The self-life crucified. So that you begin to live a new life. No longer living for yourself, but living for the Lord. That's the beauty of freedom from the love of self. You are no longer living for yourself. You are actually living for another. You are no longer doing things in order to draw attention to yourself. You are doing things to direct attention to the Lord. You are no longer living for yourself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll just read verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. He said, one man died for all, and therefore all died. So you died. If he died for you, the Bible also says that you died. And verse 15 says, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves. He died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. So the Lord Jesus Christ died for all of us, that we should no longer live for ourselves. He died that we should live for him. The person who knows that he died with Christ and that the Lord Jesus Christ died for him should enter into that stage in his life that he knows that he is no longer supposed to be living for himself. So the death of the Lord Jesus Christ was to produce a group of people who are no longer living for themselves, but who are living for the Lord, living for him who died. It is this living for the Lord and no longer living for yourself that is called freedom from all love of self. When the self rules in the heart as Lord, you will see a man who is possessed by the desire to be praised, the desire to be consulted, the desire to be heard, the desire to be promoted seen, the desire to outclass others, the desire to have a final word, etc. Such a person does not labor to be his best for the Lord. He labors to be ahead of others. And the goal, in order to be known, in order to be seen, in order to make an image, and an image that would draw glory to himself. We do not live to outclass others. We live to be our best for the Lord, because each and every one of us is totally different. We are not on a field. We are not playing a match. We are not competing. We are living in order to satisfy the Lord. Unfortunately, the self-life within makes you to start competing with others. And that's what the problem of the world and the problem of the church today is. Living not for the Lord, but living for yourself. And because you are living for yourself, you do everything in order that you will be constantly ahead of others. Such a person is his own Lord and his own master. You are your own Lord if you are being controlled by the self-life. Christ is not Lord within. Christ is not the master. Christ is not the resident boss. He is not the one ruling over the heart. And you are actually not living for him. You are living for yourself. And because of that, the pride controls your life. And pride because of your physical looks, pride because of your academic attainment, pride because of your wealth, pride because of your background, your social background, pride because of your job, pride because of your beauty, you are living for someone else. Why don't you just ask yourself who you are, what you are today? Would you have been what you are if you are not made into that? Pride because of your talent, of your spiritual gift. And the question is, if it is a gift, where did it come from? Such a person is arrogant. Such a person is ungrateful. Such a person is jealous. And he's distant from those who can correct him. And he will keep close distance with only those people that he is better than them. When the Lord Jesus Christ was with his disciples, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 9, from verse 46, maybe we'll just look at it. Luke chapter 9, verse 46, what does it say? Luke chapter 9, it says, in Luke chapter 9, verse 46, an argument started among the disciples as to which of them will be the greatest. Look at what their preoccupation was. They were arguing. Peter arguing with John. John arguing. It was an argument. They were asking which of them will be the greatest. This is what the self-life is. That constantly arguing. That constant comparing and asking who is the greatest. Who is the greatest. Who is the greatest. And you want to trample on people in order to be known as the greatest. You will see the same thing repeated in Luke chapter 22. It was such a passion, such a weight on the heart of the Lord that it is repeated, who is the greatest? If you look at Mark chapter 10, verse 43, you will see, you will learn a lot from the response of the Lord. When the Lord heard about it, how did he answer them? Is that what your passion is? The passion to be the greatest. We don't live to be the greatest. Mark chapter 10, verse 43. Jesus said, he called them together and said, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. And that is what the self-life is, to lord it over people, lording it over people. You want to rule over people. You want to crush people. You want to step on them. And their official exercise authority, passion for authority. But Jesus said, not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. He said in verse 45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. He said, if you want to be first, be a servant. You want to be greatest, be a slave. Unfortunately, that's not what the message of the world is. So the self-life makes you to want to rule over others. You want to be the greatest. You want to step on others. You want to be known. James brings it out very clearly. He asks in James chapter 4, verse 1, he said, what bring quarrel among you people? Is it not because of the desire that is burning, quarrel among you people, that desire burning from within? Most of the time, there's only one reason why believers quarrel, why people quarrel. You are quarreling because they have not recognized you. They have not listened to you. They have not respected you. They are treating you like nothing. But the Bible says we are nothing. The same thing with factions. Why was the Corinthian church divided? Because I follow this. I follow Peter. This one, I follow Jesus. This one, I follow this, etc. Factions in churches, division in churches is normally because of the self-life. We're going to see again, in better understanding the self-life, we will look at some few things from the book by Brother Zach Fomum, Professor Zachariah Tani Fomum, Separation from the Self-Life, the book, The Way of Discipleship. We shall just read it. In The Way of Discipleship, he said the self-life may manifest itself in a number of ways. Number one, self-admiration. Here you admire your looks. You admire your accomplishment. You look at your looks on the mirror and say, am I not so beautiful? Yes, you are so beautiful. The Bible talks about it. But unfortunately, you start saying, am I not more beautiful than this? Am I not more beautiful than this? And then because of that, there will be some that you say, that one is ugly. He is ugly. How is she ugly? You start admiring your accomplishment so that when you look at yourself in the mirror, you not would approve and say silently to yourself, I am indeed beautiful or handsome. Or you look at your academic and social accomplishment and you just not would approve as if to say, am I not really great? This is self-admiration. It is the worship of self. No one can go far in the service of the Lord before he has been delivered from self-admiration. The second one is self-advertisement. This is the whole desire to be seen. Everything is done so that you are seen. There is a burning desire that people may see all that you are and all that you are doing. A burning desire so that people may see all that you are and all that you are doing. Such people may be dirty at the personal level, but they will do everything to appear clean in public so that you cannot reconcile the public figure and the true person. They will do everything to create the wrong impression about their spirituality. They will fast to be seen by others. They will pretend that they do not want anyone to know about their fast, yet they will be so disappointed if no one knew. Just ask yourself, if nobody knew you were fasting, if nobody knew you were praying, if nobody knew you were giving to God, if nobody knew you were doing what you are doing, will you still continue to do them? If you will not continue to do them, then you are so caught up with the love of self. They will pretend to give to the Lord in secret, yet they will ensure that their secret gifts are known and their spirituality reckoned by men. They compare themselves favorably with others, always choosing as partner those whom they can outshine with ease. Such people live to be seen by others, and those who ignore them are treated as bitter enemies, and the worst is done against them. If you ever ignore them, you always want to outshine. But if you are ignored, you start treating others as enemies. Number three is called self-congratulation. This is very close to, this is closely linked with self-advertisement. The one who advertises himself wants to be congratulated. Such people detest the companionship of able people. They always want to be near those who are inferior to them. They may allow one capable person to get close to them, but it has to be someone who recognizes them as great and with whom association seems to improve their feeling of importance. Other capable people are resisted, and sarcastic comments are made about them, lest they should get some of the congratulations that self so badly desire to feed on. Such people do everything to win the congratulation of others. If they are not praised, worshipped, etc., they feel like deflated football, withdraw into themselves, and seek attention in their moods. Not congratulation, they become moody, they become withdrawn, they look sad, etc. Number four is called self-love. This manifests itself in an indisciplined life. The person may love his appetite so much that he will feed them generously. If he is proud, he will feed his pride while pretending to say that he is not proud. Such people filled with self-love may give away many things and give the impression of being generous and sacrificial, but the root is in themselves. They do it to impress or to satisfy a secret in themselves. They really love nobody deeply. They cannot sustain any deep relationship, but will establish countless superficial relationships that satisfy their ego, but minister nothing deep to the other person. Such people are master organizers, but they run away from doing anything themselves. They will do great harm to anybody or person who stand in the way of their self being worshipped. Those who criticize them are detested. Those who do not see their works are greatly disliked. They set themselves as small kings and yearn for a group of admirers to run round them and bow down to them many times a day. Such people prefer to go with people who, for financial, emotional, or other reason, are totally dependent on them, so that their worship is guaranteed. So in this book, we see a number of things. One, self-admiration, self-advertisement, self-congratulation, self-love, etc. I don't know where you fall. Are you totally caught up with the love of self? Are you living in order that attention may be drawn to you, or you are living in order that the glory may go to the Lord? Are you living for yourself? So there are many things that show that a person is caught up with living for himself, caught up with self-love. But in this study, we are not just out to know the manifestation of the self-life. We are actually to see how can you be delivered from the love of self. Again, in the way of discipleship, we see it very, very clearly how you can be delivered from the self-life, the answer to the self-life. In this book, Brother Zach states seven steps, seven things, or seven pathways to being delivered from the self-life. Number one, the cross of the Lord. We see it again coming, as we saw under the pathway of deliverance from sin. It is not just struggling to be free from sin, but there is something that the Lord did. The never-changing and final answer to the self-life is the cross of Jesus. We see it again in Romans chapter 6, verse 6. The Bible says, we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the sinful body may be destroyed and that we may no longer be slaves to sin. The old self, your self-life, was destroyed. Our old self was crucified. The old self was crucified. That is a fact. What are we supposed to do? We should announce it. Announce that love to be admired, that love to be congratulated, that self-love, that pride was crucified. Announce it and live it out. So the answer to the self-life, again, is the cross. It is the cross. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, he took us along with him. And when he was being crucified to the cross, the self-life was crucified to the cross as well. So my freedom is not by my struggle. My freedom, again, is by the cross. I died. I'm no longer living for myself. In one decisive act of renunciation, renounce the self-life you have hitherto been living. In other words, you can renounce the self-life. That monster that have been ruling you, that have been seeking for worship, you can renounce it. What are you to do? He says, say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the root of self in me, and I renounce all its manifestation. That's what you should say, wherever you are now. Say, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I renounce the root of self in me, and I renounce all its manifestation. Take time. Pick each of the manifestations of the self-life in you. Renounce them one by one. One by one. Say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the desire to be known. Say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce the desire to be congratulated. Say, in the name of Jesus, I renounce this withdrawal into my mood when I'm not noticed. In the name of Jesus, I renounce the desire to be heard. I renounce the desire to be consulted. That is the pathway of freedom from the self-life. You are to do this daily. Daily renounce the self-life in any form that it may manifest itself again. In other words, it is a matter of day by day. Each time that self-life is about to manifest itself, renounce it. Number four, check your motive. We saw that the real issue is not just an act that has been carried. It is the motive for which you are doing it. Check your motive for everything you want to do with God. In other words, always ask yourself, why am I doing this? I'm giving this for what purpose? I am saying, what's the motive? Allow the light of God's word to shine on all that you want to do and expose the evidence of self-seeking. Always permit the light of God's word. Permit the Lord to shine his light into your heart by asking, Lord, in the depth of my being, I am doing this for what? Whatever you would do to draw attention to yourself is the manifestation of self. Renounce it. Number five. What are you to do? Hide a lot of the good things you do. Do not expose anything you do for God or for man. Conceal your good deeds. Conceal your spiritual achievements. Allow God to see in secret and to be the sole recorder of your spiritual accomplishments, since he is the one who will reward you on that day. Stop advertising. Stop telling people. Advertising. Draw attention to those good things that you are doing. That is what the self-life is all about. Hide your good deeds. Number six. Expose your faults and failures to others. Do not attempt in any way to hide them and thus give a false image of yourself. I'll read it again. Expose your faults and failures to others. Do not attempt in any way to hide them and thus give a false image of yourself. Decide that you will not defend your name or your reputation. Set out not to defend your name. Set out not to defend your reputation. Let people drag your name in the mud if they want. Do not try to get it out. All that matters to you is God's opinion of you. Stop trying to defend your name. Stop trying to defend yourself. Your ministry does not depend on man's opinion. Neither does your life depend on man's opinion about you. Let them drag it. Let them dirty your name. Let them slander. Let them say whatever they want to say about you. Don't try to protect your name. The protection of your name is what the self-life is all about. I read something about Washman Nee. One day he was with his wife. And so one brother called him and then started accusing him. All that Washman Nee was saying on the phone was, I am sorry. I am sorry. I am sorry, sir. I am sorry, sir. When he stopped the telephone call, the wife asked him, who was that talking with you on the phone? He said, it was this brother. He said, what was he saying? He said, he was accusing me that I have done this. I have done this. I have done this. The wife asked him, have you done all that? He said, no, of course, you know that I've done none of them. And he said, then why were you saying, I am sorry? He asked the wife, if I say I have not done it, does it change me from being Washman Nee? If I say I'm sorry, does it change me from being Washman Nee? Does God not know whether I have done it or not? Stop defending your name. Number seven, confess the corruption of your heart to God and to man daily. When your motive is wrong, confess it to God. Confess it to man and ask for pardon for all the manifestation of self. Confess it to God. God bless you. If you are willing, God will do it. Are you willing that he should deliver you from the self-life at any cost? Then the Lord himself is able to stand with you. Remember that he went to the cross together with you and the self-life was overthrown, destroyed, crucified on the cross. All that you need to do is to cooperate with him to uproot this monster called self. So you can be delivered from the self-life and you can begin to live for the Lord, for his glory and his glory alone. You can have one motive, and that motive no longer to bring glory to yourself, one motive no longer to make a name for yourself, that motive bringing glory for him who died for you, that you may live for him. Decide that daily you will die to self, and you will be surprised the type of relationship you will begin to have with the Lord. You will live for the Lord and live for him alone, and you will know joy in spite of what you may be going through. They may slander your name, they may treat you with spite, but in your inside you are at rest because the Lord knows who you are. Set out
and be delivered from all love of self and begin to live for the Lord. May the Lord bless you.